Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decade. I don't have any intentions on the docket today, but I encourage you to go ahead and send those in if you have any, especially as we're coming into a penitential season now. A lot of prayer and fasting is going to dominate all of our lives. The more prayers that we have to say, the better. So write in your intentions, Daily Decade Requests at protonmail.com. That's Decade, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. For today, we do have an ongoing novena that started last night at Compline. If you did not get to say the first day of the novena, that's okay. You can join us at any point, just as the parable of the man who hires the workers, and those that show up at the first hour and the eighth hour and all the way to the 11th hour, they all get paid their denarius. So a novena is ideally done for 9 days with the reception of communion, but joining a novena part of the way through can still be of great spiritual benefit to everyone who participates. So if you did not do the first day, you can pick up on the second. The novena itself is posted every day with the prayers to be said on our Telegram channel, which I think is where the bulk of our followers are. And you'll also be able to find it on, if you do a search on the website America Needs Fatima, the whole novena is on there. And I think EWTN has the whole thing as well. This is the novena to Our Lady of Lourdes. And the prayer that we are offering is for the healing of Holy Mother Church and for the conversion of the heretics who are permitted to torment, afflict, and persecute those loyal to her. And we'll continue praying that. We're saying it at Compline every day, which is typically around 6 or 7 o'clock all the way up to 9 o'clock whenever your final prayers for the evening are said. If you follow the breviary, it's after Laud, or after Vespers, and precedes Matins and Lauds. So I would encourage you to do that, to join us in that, and we'll conclude the day before at Compline of the day before the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, which falls on February the 11th. We started yesterday because it was the Feast of the Purification. Today, we'll go ahead and, if for those of you who are not joining us for the novena, we'll say our rosary for the same intention that I just mentioned, for the healing of Holy Mother Church and for the conversion of the heretics who have been permitted to torment and afflict those loyal to her, to infiltrate her, and to bring shame upon Catholics around the world. And while we're at it, we'll go ahead and pray for all of those Christians making good efforts to make their way to the true faith, but find themselves in their own communities blocked and frustrated by the modernists. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For the conversion of heretics, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. For all of us in our struggles, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Glorious Mysteries, yesterday being the Sorrowful. For those of you who did not listen, we did a special recording yesterday. It ran us a little bit longer than usual, but it was a full rosary. I just did what I normally do, my morning rosary, and I recorded that. And thought that it might be, you know, and it is a matter of interest, not any kind of prideful thing or you're interested in me specifically, but anything that I do with my rosary might be helpful to somebody else who's trying to do their rosary. And the Sorrowful Mysteries in particular are good ones as we're coming into the penitential season. We're in Septuagesima now, coming into Lent in 2 weeks, so it's a good thing to reflect on. Today we're doing that's what I meant to mention. Somebody had reminded me that yesterday, being Candlemas, was appropriate to say the Joyful Mysteries, and I was kicking myself after I had done the recording for the Sorrowful Mysteries, utterly forgetting that that was the case. And so it's a kind of a little lesson that we should, when we're paying attention to the liturgical season, watch those double feasts, whether they're greater doubles, second doubles or first doubles, because they do affect the way we're supposed to pray the rosary. I made a mistake yesterday. We should have been praying the joyful because of the Feast of Candlemas. The presentation and purification is on the is one of the joyful mysteries. So that's something to bear in mind. At any rate, today I was praying the glorious mysteries, and a thought occurred to me that I felt might be useful for anyone who's praying the glorious mysteries, trying to get a better grip on those mysteries and reflection on them. You'll recall last week we did a recording where we talked about, and those of you who are listening to this on the Exodus Americanus site, yesterday I posted Thursday and Friday last with yesterday's recording because I had missed those last week. So this is going to be Series 3, Episode 14, I think. We did the Glorious Mysteries. And in it, I did some scripture passages that went with each of the mysteries, which is how I reflect on them when I say them myself. And it occurred to me today as I was going through them that there's a reflection that's actually hidden in there. It struck me when I was doing the second glorious mystery, the ascension into heaven, and the passages, I shall be with you always, even until the consummation of the world. And the thought occurred to me that that is rather a veiled reference to the Eucharist, since Christ is present in the Eucharist. There's a sort of the three comings of Christ. There's the first coming in the incarnation, the coming in the Eucharist, and then the what we call the second coming, but that's really the third arrival of Christ in judgment. But that second step, the coming in the Eucharist, the incarnation of the Eucharist, is an incredibly important one for those of us who recognize the reality of the real presence in the Eucharist. And so it struck me that when Christ gives us this promise that he'll be with us even to the end of the world, there's multiple layers there to peel away, and this is one of them. And I started to think about the other mysteries and the sacraments that they accord with, and you can watch the progression of the sacraments through the glorious mysteries. It's a very good way to reflect on the meaning of the sacraments and exactly what they are supposed to do. The scriptural passage I reflect on for the first glorious mystery is, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And it seems to me that there is an allegory there for the sacrament of confession and reconciliation. We seek life from Christ and Christ alone. We cannot find life out in the world. And what is sin but our attachment to the world and worldliness? We sin when we really perform an act of worship, a ritual action that glorifies the world, when we are excessively angry for our own sake and not for God's, when we commit sins of the flesh, when we are covetous, when we are prideful, when we are slothful. All of these things reflect some value that we give to worldliness that we should be giving to godliness. So we're seeking to draw our life from dead waters. But when we go to reconciliation, we find that the font of forgiveness is where true life dwells, and the absolution that takes place at the end of it is a recognition of the life of Christ, and that life comes to dwell in us if we recognize it, if we repent and turn towards God. Then, of course, we talked about the "I am with thee always until the consummation of the world." That's the Holy Eucharist. "Unless a man be born of the water and of the Spirit," and here we have baptism and confirmation, the direct fruit of the descent of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, And it puts us, we think about the way the baptism and our confirmation puts us directly in the inheritance of the apostles at Pentecost. And we are directly connected to the early church through those sacraments. Now, it's true, the sacraments of initiation, so therefore. And this is also a place where we might, so we've got reconciliation, the Eucharist, there's two more, so there's four. And we might say that we also have holy orders here, but the other place where I think holy orders dwells is a little later on. So there's two places you can find holy orders. The first one is the connection with the apostolic succession, of course, but the other one is the crowning, and we'll get to that in a moment. This brings us to the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is her reward for her purity, in a way, and it's also a natural and logical it's a natural and logical event if we accept her Immaculate Conception, since decay and death would not be appropriate for her, and furthermore would not be appropriate in heaven. It makes perfect sense that she should be assumed body and soul without the touch of death upon her. And here we have the death that does not touch he who receives in the fullness and state of grace extreme unction. It is the extreme unction is the recognition of the unity of body and soul. It is the healing of the death that actually matters, the warding off of the death that actually matters, which is the death of the spirit. The death of the body is nothing. It's going to happen no matter what. But the death of the soul, this greater death, the death, to die the death, that is directly addressed and healed by the administration of extreme unction. And that is, in many ways, the sacramental action where not only is our mother, where not only is the Mother of God, of course, she's given all of these graces, she's full of grace, she is the most highly favored of all of God's creations. Here she is prevented, or rather, here she is protected from death, because of her holiness. And the sacrament of extreme unction functions in the same way. And then at last we have the crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven. And you have two sacraments that dwell here. The first is holy orders, where a human has been blessed by God and crowned by God and given authority, which is both spiritual and ecclesial, and placed in a unique place in relationship to Christ. Now, we know that the priest serves the role in the Holy Mass of the Alter Christus, but also, and while priests are not uniquely holy, they stand in unique closeness to God. It's part of what makes their sins much more grave. Now, our Blessed Mother came to God sinless, but nevertheless, she is placed in a place of honor on the right hand of Christ. And from there, because of that, she is given unique powers. In multiple apparitions that are approved by the Church, we hear the Blessed Mother saying that she alone can save us from the calamities that are coming. Well, obviously, our salvation, our true salvation, dwells in Christ alone. He's the only one that actually does any spiritual saving. But this means that our Blessed Mother has a unique prerogative to protect us from worldly distress and destruction. She is given a unique access to Christ and to God and to the powers of Christ and therefore the powers of God, since Christ is God. And in the same way, Holy Orders imbues precisely this closeness and this unique spiritual blessing, this unique spiritual prerogative, to call into existence the real presence, among other things. And of course, the administration of the sacraments, the forgiveness of sins, all of these things are given as prerogatives and powers to the priesthood. And then at last, and this is the other side of the crowning, and I think the more powerful side, is holy matrimony and the oneness that comes about in holy matrimony, reflective of the oneness that comes about from the union of Christ and His church. And of course, if Christ is the head of the church, and the church is His body, you have that one allegory. And you also have the church as the bride of Christ, and our mother, Holy Mother Church. And our Blessed Mother is also our mother, given to us on the cross in the person of St. John. Behold thy mother. And here the union between our Blessed Mother and our Father, which is in heaven, is made complete in her experience of the beatific vision, her perfect union with God, and her crowning as the Queen of Heaven, both as the Dowager Queen of the Son of God, as well as the Queen as, in many ways, the Bride of God, because she is the Mother of the Son of God. And this mysterious relationship that the Trinity makes possible makes this an allegory, a reflection of what matrimony is supposed to be for us. That in the same way that Mary is given the beatific vision to worship and honor God, and God honors her, and there's a perfect relationship there between them, so too in matrimony, that's the relationship that we are supposed to have, just as Christ does to His church, just as God the Father does to the Blessed Mother. That's the relationship we are meant to have in our own experience of matrimony. And so in each of these mysteries, you have a sacramental reality reflected. And it helped me, anyway, make a bit more sense of how the sacraments, you know, there's that, the belief, as above, so below, that axiom. And this opens up a way in which we can see how the sacraments are below as things are above. And so my prayer today actually relates more to this sort of reflection that I had. It may be of little value. It seems to be of great value to me. It's given me some measure of understanding. And my prayer today is that all of you, in praying your rosary, will experience similar bursts of understanding. And that all of us, through this process of reflecting, of meditation, of understanding, will draw nearer and nearer and nearer to God, that we can experience and understand the fullness of the sacramental union that we experience whenever we receive communion, and that this, with our devotion, should lead us to such a state as to be found worthy to enter heaven and enjoy the beatific vision at the end of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.